Hi, and welcome back to Equity Tutors. Today we are going to be finishing off the energy transfer module and we will be looking at nutrient cycles. So let's go ahead and get started and let's first talk about what exactly is a nutrient cycle. So first of all, let's talk about what exactly nutrients are. So nutrients are substances that the body and also other organisms like plants and other animals need to help build materials and also to help processes within the body to allow the organism to survive. So we can think about the biological molecules that we spoke about in module one of AS level, so lipids, carbohydrates and proteins, and we know that these are made up of hydrocarbons, but they also have other groups in them, so things like phosphate groups in DNA and also nitrogen, which is needed in plants. So we are going to talk today about the cycles that these nutrients go through. So they are in the body of an organism, and then once that organism dies or during its excretion, so if it urinates or defecates, then those nutrients re-enter into the environment and they can then be used by other animals or organisms. So the nutrients are not trapped in one organism forever, they move around so that the whole ecosystem can function properly. So the way that nutrients move throughout the ecosystem is that living organisms, once they either die and decompose or produce waste, they release the nutrients into the environment. These are digested by microorganisms, which we are going to go into more detail on later on in the lesson. And then once this decomposition happens, the products that are formed can then enter the soil and then be taken up by plants. And then organisms that then eat the plants, so consumers, can then get the nutrients from the plant. An important thing to remember is that in stable communities, the rate that organisms take up and release nutrients will be consistent, and this means that the nutrients are consistently cycled within the ecosystem. So we're going to look at two examples of nutrient cycles today. We're going to look at the nitrogen cycle and also the phosphorus cycle. So starting with the nitrogen cycle, there are four key processes in the cycle, and these are carried out by different bacteria, which we are going to go into a bit more detail on later, but I will mention them now. So the first part of the nitrogen cycle is nitrogen fixation. So in the atmosphere, nitrogen is a gas, but plants cannot use this nitrogen gas directly to obtain the nitrogen. So first of all, this nitrogen must be fixed by nitrogen fixing bacteria. So the nitrogen fixing bacteria convert the nitrogen into ammonia, and ammonia forms ammonium ions, which when they're dissolved in water, and this can then be taken up by the plants. So these bacteria are found inside the root nodules of the leguminous plants. So these are things like peas and beans, and the bacteria have a symbiotic relationship with the plants because the bacteria help provide the plants with nitrogen, and the plant provides the bacteria with other organic compounds such as carbohydrates. So they both help each other and it's a mutually beneficial relationship. So that's the first step of the nitrogen cycle. So that's nitrogen fixation. Following on from this, we have ammonification, and during this stage, nitrogen compounds that are in the waste products or in dead organisms are converted into ammonia, and this is done by a different organism called a saprobiont. This ammonia forms ammonium ions in the soil, so this is ammonification. The next step is nitrification, and during this stage the ammonium ions in the soil are converted into nitrogen compounds that can be used by plants, and these are known as nitrates, and this step is formed by nitrifying bacteria. So normally what happens is there is an initial stage where the nitrifying bacteria convert ammonium ions into nitrites, and then a different type of nitrifying bacteria convert the nitrites into nitrates, and the nitrates are what can then be used by the plant. So then the final step is denitrification, And this happens by bacteria that use nitrates in the soil during respiration. So this then produces nitrogen gas, which returns to the atmosphere. And this process happens in anaerobic conditions, so in the soil where there is no oxygen, and this releases the nitrogen back into the atmosphere as nitrogen gas, so then the whole cycle can start again. So the next nutrient cycle we're going to look at is the phosphorus cycle, and this one is a bit more simple. So as I said earlier, plants and animals both need phosphorus to make things like phospholipids, which are used for cell membranes, and also nucleic acids like DNA and RNA, and also for ATP, which is a product of respiration, as we spoke about in the last few lessons. So the phosphorus cycle starts with phosphorus, which is in rocks, and this is slowly released into the soil and into water by weathering. So this is the slow breaking down of rocks over time, and the type of phosphorus that is released are phosphate ions. These ions are then taken up from the soil by plants, and they can also be absorbed by algae, which are in water. And these then again pass through to consumers when they eat the plants, and then the phosphate ions in the waste products or in dead organisms are released back into soil or water during decomposition. Once that's happened, either the phosphate ions can now be taken up and used again, like the beginning of the cycle, or they can be trapped in sediment that over a long time can turn into phosphorus containing rocks, and then that can be the start of the whole cycle again. So the phosphorus starts in rocks, it gets released due to weathering into the water and soil. This can be taken up by the plants. The plants then get consumed by animals, and these animals then release the phosphorus either when they die or during their excretion, and then this phosphorus can either go back into the soil and be taken up again, or it can go into forming new sedimentary rock which contain phosphorus, which can then start the whole cycle again. Okay, so now that we've looked at those two different nutrient cycles, we're now going to have a quick look at the different bacteria that are involved in the different stages of those cycles. So as we spoke about already, decomposition is really important to allow the ecosystem to function properly. So decomposition is the process by which a complex organic substance is broken down into simpler substances, and this is performed by microorganisms. And this helps remove nutrients stored in dead organisms and their waste products so that these nutrients can be available again to other members of the ecosystem. So without these microorganisms, all these nutrients would be stuck in dead organisms and wouldn't be able to be used by others. So let's have a look first of all at saprobiontes. So we mentioned those earlier, and these are what we call true decomposers. So they can be both fungi and bacteria, and they secrete digestive enzymes onto their food. So their food is usually dead animals or plants, and they secrete these enzymes onto their food, and this causes digestion of the food. And this is called extracellular digestion, because unlike in us where we eat our food and we digest it within our bodies, they release enzymes and these digest their food outside of themselves. The way that they acquire the nutrients this way is known as saprobiotic nutrition, and during this process the bacteria or the fungi do take some of the nutrients, but not all of the products do get absorbed by the saprobiont, so some of them are released into the surrounding environment, and this is how they can then re-enter the ecosystem, as we spoke about earlier, so during nitrification and things like that. The next microorganism that we are going to talk about are mycorrhiza. So the fungi have a special relationship with plants, and the hyphae of the fungi, which are the long finger-like projections, so they're like almost like hairs, they can interact with the root of the plant, and this allows the surface area of the root system of the plant to be greatly increased, and this helps the root to take up more water and nutrients from its environment. So this is a mutually beneficial relationship, because the fungi receive organic compounds from the plant such as carbohydrates, etc., and the plant receives more nutrients and water from its surroundings. So this is called mycorrhizae. Then I'm going to quickly just recap the some of the bacteria that are involved in the nitrogen cycle. So we have nitrifying bacteria, and these convert ammonium ions in the soil into nitrites and nitrates, which can be used by the plants. We have denitrifying bacteria, and these convert nitrates or nitrites into nitrogen-containing gas. And then we have nitrogen-fixing bacteria, which are the ones that convert the atmospheric nitrogen gas into nitrogen-containing compounds, which can be dissolved in water and taken up into the plants. So that is all we're going to talk about with the microorganisms. And the last thing we're going to talk about today is fertilizers. So I think everyone has heard of fertilizers, and fertilizers are used to add different nutrients and mineral ions into the soil. So some of these ions include nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium. So fertilizers are really important to keep the soil nutrient rich so that plants can grow well. And we can split fertilizers into two different categories. We have natural fertilizers and artificial fertilizers. So let's start with the natural fertilizers. So these are made up of organic matter. So these are things like manure or compost. So when we put our food waste in the garden and it breaks down and forms soil, so that's composting, and even sewage. So these things contain waste or broken down decomposed organisms, and therefore they contain the nutrients that were contained in those substances, and these can then be released into the soil. So these nutrients are released over a very long time period because the complex matter that they are part of needs to be broken down by the different microorganisms that we previously discussed. And you require large amounts of this fertilizer to treat the soil of farms and things like that, because the concentration of the nutrients within it is quite low. So if you are a farmer and you have a massive field, you will need a lot of manure in order to get the right amount of nitrogen into your soil to help your plants grow. The other kind of fertilizer we have is artificial fertilizers. Now, these are made up of inorganic matter, and they're normally made up of pure chemical compounds, so things like ammonium nitrate. So these are made in a lab, and they are easier to predict because we know the exact chemical composition of them. So with manure, you don't know exactly how much nitrogen is going to be in each batch, and each batch will be variable, but with this you know exactly what is in there and the concentration. So equally, they are much more highly concentrated than the natural fertilizers, and because of this you need much smaller amounts. That means that it is easier to transport, so the transport costs are lower because you don't need to transport so much. It's easier to apply, and it's cleaner because, you know, you're not handling things like manure, which is made up of feces. So there are two different types of fertilizers. There's the artificial and the natural, and farmers can use either, but we are now going to go on to the environmental issues that can be caused by the use of fertilizers. So the important thing to remember is that, especially for farmers, they need to maximize the amount of crops that they produce in order to have more to sell and to make more money to be able to survive. So for them, it's really important that every year their soil is really fertile so that the plants grow really well and they get a good profit. The environmental issues really arise when people overuse fertilizers. So as unfortunately humans are very greedy, and what people often do is they think that putting more on will be better. So people overuse fertilizers, and what happens is the plants are actually unable to use all of the fertilizer that is provided. So then the nutrients that are left in the soil aren't taken up by the plants, and so they just stay in the soil. So things like nitrates and phosphates. So then you get this thing called leaching, which is when water enters the soil and takes these mineral ions into nearby bodies of water, so things like lakes, rivers, etc. This is more common with nitrates than phosphates because phosphate is slightly less soluble in water, so it's not as likely to enter the water from the soil. It's more likely to just remain in the soil. But what happens when nitrates enter the water systems? We get this thing called eutrophication, and this has several stages. So we first of all get algal bloom, which is where The nitrogen ions cause rapid growth of the algae on the surface of the water. So algae, just like any other plant, like nitrogen, they need it to grow. So if you give them this massive dose of nitrogen from the water that's run off from the farmer's field, all these algae start to grow excessively. So these then block the sunlight to the plants that are below the surface, and then obviously no light means no photosynthesis, which means that the plants below the surface start to die. And also the algae can also start to die because there will be too many algae plants to be supported by the amount of nutrients that is in the water. So at this point, bacteria that decompose organic matter will start to increase, and they will feed on this organic matter of the algae and the other plants. At this point, as we said, these bacteria will be using aerobic respiration, and this will mean that the oxygen that is dissolved in the water will start to reduce, and eventually this can cause fish that are living and also insects that are living in these waters to die because there is not enough oxygen in the water to allow them to survive. So you can see that you might not think that putting extra fertilizer on your field will have much of an effect, but it can actually have a huge effect to the whole ecosystem in the long run. So, you know, this, what can happen is that the nitrogen can go from the farmer's field and end up in the water systems, and this can really affect the biodiversity of the water system. So it's really important to educate farmers on not overusing fertilizers so that this eutrophication is kept to a minimal level. Okay, and that is all for today. So we spoke about what nutrient cycles are, and we gave the specific examples of the nitrogen cycle and the phosphorus cycle. We then looked a bit more deeply at what microorganisms are involved in the steps of the cycles and how they work. And then finally, we had a look at fertilizers, how they are used, and also the environmental impact that they can have.
Thank you so much for listening. Remember, you can access additional content on our Patreon page by searching for Equity Tutors, where we have a second 30-minute lesson every week, plus monthly bonus content. You can also find us on most social media platforms. We will keep you updated on new content, and you can find us there by searching for Equity Tutors UK. Please like, share, subscribe and comment wherever you are listening. And if you're enjoying, please leave a review. Bye.
Bye.